This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How amygdala hijacking undermines your anchor the moment you deliver it. Why your opening number fails before the other side even responds. In short, a negotiation anchor only works if you deliver it with conviction. Amygdala hijacking steals this conviction at the precise moment you need it, turning a carefully prepared opening number into an apology. Understanding this mechanism is the difference between an anchor that pulls the negotiation your way and one that collapses the instant the room goes quiet. Definition: amygdala hijacking anchoring describes the process by which a fear-driven neurological response disrupts the confident delivery of a negotiation anchor. The amygdala overrides rational communication at the moment of highest pressure, causing the negotiator to soften, qualify, or retreat from their opening position before the other side responds. You spend hours preparing your anchor. You know your number. You know the reasoning behind it. You sit down, the moment arrives, and something shifts. Your voice tightens. You add the words just as a starting point. You laugh at your own figure, or you follow your anchor immediately with a lower offer, as if you never quite believed the first one. The amygdala hijacking has already happened, and your anchor, the most powerful move in your negotiation toolkit, has been dismantled before the other person has said a single word. This is the part of anchoring that most people never examine. They study the theory, they understand that a strong opening position shapes the entire negotiation, but they do not understand why the delivery so often collapses. The answer lies in what your brain does under pressure, and in Chapter 1 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe this mechanism directly. The prefrontal cortex, the seat of rational thought and deliberate language, gets hijacked by the amygdala, the part of your brain responsible for survival. That hijack does not care that you prepared. It fires because the situation feels threatening, and it fires fast. While anchoring is a psychological act, not just a tactical one, most people understand anchoring at the surface level. You make a bold opening offer. That number lodges in the other side's mind and pulls the final outcome in your direction, even if they push back hard. The principle is sound. It works because the human mind anchors disproportionately to the first significant number it encounters in a negotiation. Everything that follows is evaluated against the reference point. What people miss is that the anchor does not exist on paper. It exists in the delivery. A number stated with apology is not an anchor. It is an invitation to disregard. A number followed immediately by a softer alternative is not an anchor. It is a concession disguised as an opening. The psychological power of anchoring is entirely dependent on the credibility the other person assigns to it, and credibility is communicated through tone, pacing, stillness, and the absence of self-sabotaging qualifications. This is where the amygdala enters. The moment of delivering an anchor, particularly a bold one, is a moment of high social risk. Your brain registers that risk whether you're conscious of it or not. What the brain does the moment you state your number. Here is the truth of it: your amygdala cannot distinguish between physical danger and social threat. A lion in the grass and a counterpart who might react badly to your opening offer register in the same neurological neighborhood. The fight or flight response fires, and it fires before you have finished your sentence. When this happens, the prefrontal cortex loses its grip on your communication. This is not a failure of willpower. It is a biological reality I describe and Say It Right Every Time because I spent decades watching it happen to capable, experienced people who simply did not know what was overriding them. The words, it is the gap between knowing what to say and being able to say it under pressure, capture exactly what plays out at an anchor delivery. You knew what to say. Your brain had other plans. The specific sabotage patterns vary, but they all serve the same amygdala-driven purpose: reduce the perceived threat by softening the position. Your nervous system is trying to protect you from conflict. In doing so, it destroys the very thing your preparation built. The three ways an anchor collapses under emotional pressure. Understanding the mechanism is useful. Seeing it in specific behavior is what makes it actionable. The preemptive retreat. You state your anchor and follow it immediately with a low figure before the other side has reacted at all. We are thinking £180,000, but we could potentially consider something closer to £155,000. The second number cancels the first. The other side now knows your real flaw, and they did not have to do anything to find it. The apologetic qualifier. You deliver the number, but wrap it in language that signals you do not believe in it. Just as a rough starting point, obviously this is negotiable, or I know it might seem high. Each qualifier tells the counterpart that the anchor is soft and that pressure will move it. They will apply the pressure. The nervous laugh. This one is subtle and devastating. You state a bold number and then laugh slightly, as if acknowledging the audacity of the figure. It reads as social discomfort. The other side interprets it as a signal that even you find the number unrealistic. The anchor loses weight before the room has processed it. All three of these are the amygdala managing social risk in real time. None of them are conscious decisions. That is the problem. Why experienced negotiators still fall into this trap? You might expect that experience would solve this. It does not, not automatically. I have watched senior professionals, people who negotiate regularly, dismantle their own anchors in exactly these ways. Experience teaches you the tactics of anchoring. It does not automatically retrain your threat response system. There's also a specific cognitive trap that makes the problem worse. Before you walk into a negotiation, you rehearse it in your head. You state the anchor confidently. The other side nods, perhaps pushes back, and the conversation proceeds. That internal rehearsal is flawless because you control both sides. As I describe it and say it right every time, this is the rehearsal trap, practicing perfectly in private, then finding yourself fumbling when the real exchange begins. Real conversations do not follow your script. The other side's expression, their silence, their body language, all of it lands as live data your amygdala is processing in real time. If they look unmoved, or worse, visibly displeased, the threat system escalates. The carefully rehearsed anchor starts to feel like a liability rather than a tool. You want to soften the risk, so you soften the number. This is also why understanding the full amygdala hijack mechanism matters beyond negotiation. The same trigger that derails an anchor derails every high-stakes conversation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. How silence after the anchor triggers the hijack. There is a specific moment that separates negotiators who hold their anchors from those who collapse them. It is the silence after delivery. You state your number. The other side does not respond immediately. That silence lasts 3 seconds, 5 seconds, perhaps 10. For your amygdala, this is an eternity. Silence reads as rejection, as hostility, or as social failure. The pressure to fill it becomes almost physical. So you speak. You qualify. You move. Here is the thing. Silence is the anchor working. The other side is processing the number, recalibrating their own expectations, and forming a response. Your job in that silence is to do nothing. Saying nothing is not weakness. It is the anchor holding its ground. But the amygdala reads silence as threat and compels you to speak. This is why the 3-second pause is not merely a tension management tool. It is directly relevant to anchoring. The pause interrupts the hijack before it can push words out of your mouth that you did not intend to say. You breathe, you let the silence exist, and you let the anchor stand. What preparation actually needs to look like for this to change? Most negotiators prepare their anchor number. Far fewer prepare their anchor delivery. These are not the same thing. Preparing the number means deciding what figure to open with. That is the tactical layer. Preparing the delivery means writing the exact words you will use, rehearsing them aloud until they feel familiar, and practicing holding silence after you have said them. This is the layer that protects the anchor from amygdala hijacking. In Chapter 2 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the core framework built on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. The clarity pillar is directly applicable here. Before you walk into a negotiation, answer these three questions in writing. What is my anchor? Stated in one sentence. Why is this number credible and reasonable? In two sentences. What do I say immediately after the number? And then stop. That third question is the one most people skip. Knowing what you'll say after the anchor and then committing to silence gives your brain a clear instruction. The amygdala fires when the unknown arrives. A scripted delivery turns the unknown into the familiar. The core framework's full application to high-pressure moments covers this preparation process in more detail, and it applies directly to the anchoring moment. The empathy bridge and why it helps your anchor land. One technique from Say It Right Every Time that experienced negotiators underuse before an anchor is the empathy bridge. This is the practice of acknowledging the other side's position or constraints before you state your own opening number. This might sound counterintuitive. Why would acknowledging the other side's reality help your anchor? Because psychological safety is a prerequisite for productive negotiation. When the other person feels heard before you make a demand, their own amygdala stays calmer. A calmer room means less reactive pushback, which means your anchor faces less immediate pressure, which means you're less likely to receive the kind of hostile silence or sharp rejection that fires your own threat response. The empathy bridge does not weaken your anchor. It creates the conditions in which your anchor can stand. You acknowledge. You deliver. You hold. That sequence gives the anchor its best chance. When feedback triggers a defensive reaction, the same principle applies: connect before you correct, or in negotiation terms, connect before you anchor. What to do when the hijack has already happened? Sometimes you will feel it mid-delivery. You will hear the qualifier leaving your mouth before you can stop it. Or you will realize, after the first exchange, that you have already moved off your anchor under emotional pressure you did not fully register in the moment. This does not mean the negotiation is lost. It does require an honest recognition of what happened and a deliberate reset. The reset is not about pretending the softened anchor did not occur. It is about returning to your position with clear, direct language. Something like, let me be more precise about where we stand. The figure I'm working from is anchor. That is based on brief rationale. I wanted to be clear on that before we go further. This resets the reference point without theatrics. If your team also struggles with these dynamics, signs that amygdala hijacking is affecting group performance are worth knowing. The same nervous system responses that derail an individual anchor can ripple through a team negotiating together, where one person's visible discomfort becomes contagious. The deal method offers another recovery structure when a negotiation has tipped into genuine conflict following an anchor that was poorly received. And if the relationship itself has taken damage, the bridge method provides a path back to productive ground before the negotiation can continue. Holding the anchor is a skill you build, not a gift you have. Some people hold their anchors under pressure and others do not. The difference is really confidence in the everyday sense of that word. It is familiarity. People who hold anchors have delivered enough of them, in enough pressure situations, that the moment no longer registers as a threat. Their amygdala has learned this is survivable. You build that familiarity through deliberate practice with real words and real conditions, not through mental rehearsal alone. Write your anchor script. Say it out loud. Have someone sit across from you and respond with silence, or with an expression of displeasure, and practice holding your position without qualifying it. This is uncomfortable. That discomfort is the training. This much I know for certain: amygdala hijacking anchoring failures are not character flaws. They are a predictable biological response to a situation your nervous system has classified as risky. You cannot eliminate the response, but you can prepare for it specifically enough that it no longer controls what comes out of your mouth. Frequently asked questions. What is amygdala hijacking in anchoring? Amygdala hijacking in anchoring occurs when emotional pressure at the moment of delivering your opening number triggers a fear response that overrides rational thinking. Instead of holding your anchor confidently, you soften it, apologize for it, or abandon it entirely before the other side has said a word. Why does amygdala hijacking undermine a negotiation anchor? Because anchoring depends on confidence to carry weight. When the amygdala fires, your prefrontal cortex loses control of your language and delivery. You signal doubt through your tone, your pacing, or an unsolicited concession, which tells the other side your anchor is softer than you stated. How do you protect your anchor from emotional hijacking? Prepare the exact words you will use to deliver your anchor and rehearse them until the script feels natural under pressure. Use the 3-second pause before you speak to let your rational thinking re-engage. Silence after the anchor is not weakness. It is the anchor doing its work. What does amygdala hijacking look like during an anchor delivery? It looks like over-explaining your number, laughing nervously, qualifying the anchor with phrases like just a starting point, or offering a concession in the same breath as the anchor. All of these behaviors erode the anchor before the other side has had a chance to respond. Can you recover a negotiation anchor after emotional hijacking? Yes, but it takes deliberate effort. Acknowledge the pause, slow your breathing, and restate the anchor clearly without the qualifications you added under pressure. The core framework, and the 3-second pause are both practical tools for recovering your footing mid-negotiation. How does preparation reduce amygdala hijacking when anchoring? Preparation replaces the unknown, which is the primary trigger for the fear response. When you have a word-for-word script for your anchor delivery, your brain treats the moment as familiar rather than threatening. Familiar situations do not fire the amygdala the way unknown ones do. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.